Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is 33 degrees, drippy and overcast here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off Friday? We titled the show Tron, Hubris, Godhood, Poisoned Apple, Gen X, and the Obsolete Man. And that's about where the last couple weeks have led us, is right to that path again, to the obsoleting of biology 1.0 on this planet, to be replaced with something that they being the designers, the ones who are working very hard at creating the mad science that will transform us to what they say is the next better version of humanity. We have good old Ray Kurzweil, Uncle Ray, sitting there. He's been talking about this for years, how to improve us so we can be smarter, healthier, and sexier. He keeps wanting to be sexy. And Ray now is the head of engineering at Google. They gave him the driving seat, oh, probably 2, 3, 4, maybe even years ago, where he, when he first got hired, he came out and he said something to the effect that he has nearly an unlimited budget. And I remember he had to kind of backpedal on that afterward, because somebody like Ray is very concerning if they have an unlimited budget, because he has always been coming up with these completely bizarro ideas and wanting to merge man and machine. He has been the one who has been really kind of behind the singularity. He's been that point person. And guess what? He does have just about an unlimited budget. He's got DARPA and Google behind him. And he is steering the ship now. And we should definitely, definitely, if not be afraid, at least take a few moments of pause to realize that this is all for real now. That this is coming down the path. The Precision Medicine Initiative and the Brain Initiative are two big projects that work alongside the 21st Century Cures Act that was passed in December, that are going to transhumanize us. And while they're doing that, they're going to build their entire control grid, which will include little nanobots in our blood and being able to monitor us down to a cellular level. It'll also include being able to manipulate and control brains and surveil them non-invasively. I was trying to remember what the document said. Non-invasively, to make sure that you are not a danger to yourself or others, Johnny. Well, don't worry about it. We'll just send you over to a new war. They saw we're going to increase defense funding. We'll send you to a new war. But if you get broken, we now have all kinds of newfangled ways to fix you. And you could be better, faster, stronger than that old 1.0 Johnny anyway. So, hey, what do you got to lose? It's not going to cost you. At least you don't have to pay for it if you go to the military. Well, the rest of us are going to have to pay for our clinical trials. So, not really sure what direction we're going to take this today. I had a whole bunch of tabs lined up, and I got up and I looked at them this morning, and I was like, nah. I mean, yeah, all those things I want to hit on, but not a show did it make. So I'm going to talk about a story that I found last night titled Transhumanism is the Next Step in Human Evolution. And yes, I keep saying that. And yes, now it seems to me that it is becoming more apparent to others of what is happening. This weekend, I actually did watch The Obsolete Man from Star Trek. Why did I say that? From Twilight Zone. And Wordsworth, became obsolete because he was a librarian, and library books in general, went the way of the dinosaur, so he was deemed obsolete. And when you were obsolete, in the obsolete man, you were scheduled for liquidation because he was a tax on the system. You know, guys, it's scary because as we watch our future unfold, I saw a really frightening story that had said exactly what I've been saying about Trump and let's bring all the manufacturing jobs back. Well, guess what, guys? I was right again. Because the manufacturing jobs that are all going to come back to the United States are not going to be the type of manufacturing jobs that you remember in the 70s. Oh, no. There will not be three shifts working 7 days a week with OT. This time, the bringing back the manufacturing jobs and made in the USA is going to be meaning made in the USA by South Korean robots on the factory floor. And that's pretty frightening because, sure, we could be a country full of plenty, but if they don't need to pay salaries, sick time, vacation, bonuses, 401k, unemployment insurance, and taxes to the states, I'm sure I could go on and on, all the other perks and bennies. They don't have to pay any of that. And guess what? There is no time limit. You are not limited to 14-hour workdays or 12-hour workdays, whatever state law calls, or 8 hours between shifts. Nope. You can work them until they break, until they overheat. And if you get something like Baxter, and I'm telling you, Baxter actually got upgraded. I don't remember the name. We'll look that up. I looked him up a few weeks ago and I was surprised to find out that they chucked Baxter out a window and they came out with a new version of Baxter and they named him something else. They couldn't have just called him Baxter 2, which they should have. But it's even better than Baxter was, and it allows them to do cloud learning ad nauseum. So these robots, anywhere there is one deployed, you can set it up to do cloud learning. So you teach, I think it was like 8 hours to teach a robot a whole task from start to finish on an assembly line. And then he would memorize it and he would upload it to the cloud. And for 8 hours, he would practice it. Bzz, 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 and every time he'd practice, he'd get better and better. And once it got uploaded to the cloud, then every Baxter that it was deployed out in the real world would have access to this new cloud learning from one individual robot. That's like the hive mind. That's what they're really trying to convince us that we want to get to eventually, the Borg mentality. Kurzweil is trying to tell us how wonderful it'll be. Look at how much smarter you're going to be if you had access beyond the confines of your puny human brain. And they keep trying to convince us that our brains are puny. I saw a story too the other day, and I didn't post this one. The scientists have now discovered, and I know this sounds like one of those transcendent magazines of, milk and honey and herbals, but it's not. Scientists have discovered that our capacity in our brain is thousands of times more than we ever imagined. And I really think we are being sold a bunk bag of goods here. They're trying to convince the human population that we are defective, that we are not something. A form that we want to aspire to. We want to aspire to living forever, to having artificial blood, to having nanobots in our bodies to cure us every time we're sick. And I pointed out last week that a lot of these ailments we suffer from as a Western society, many of these are brought on by our own bad choices, by our not exercising and eating crappy food. And I mean, a lot of people just do it because that's the way they were raised. But as you start to get smarter, as you get older, and your body starts falling apart, and you start researching things, you start to discover, we always say, oh, we didn't know any better. Well, yeah, or maybe that was by design, but we didn't know any better. Back in the 70s, fried chicken and corn was a meat and vegetable. Swanson TV dinners with meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and then you had that little brownie that was considered a rounded dinner, as you sat in front of the TV and watched The Lorax. We didn't know any better, but we do now. And so, as our bodies are starting to disintegrate, as we're moving into middle age and beyond, and we start to woe youth and cry about our lost chances, one thing that we forget is that we can change things. We can change our habits. See, we are habitual creatures. I love my habits. Well, not really, but I'm very set in my habits. When I get up, when I shuffle off to the kitchen to get my coffee, then I pet my kitty cats, then I shuffle out here, and then I stare at the screen for a few minutes and try to wake up. But then I start getting into my stories, and then my day kicks off, and it's the same every day. But you know what? It's like clockwork. There are a lot of things that I want to change about my day, because there are a lot of things that I do during the day, like this crappy chair, that make me not feel too well, that actually make me feel like I'm falling apart. The fact that I'm not up doing jumping jacks and my core exercises as soon as I'm done with the show every day is something I need to change. The fact that I break my rule almost every night to be in bed by midnight, again, makes me pay for it in the morning. The fact that I have not cracked open that brand new box of patches that I got after I ran out to start all over again and quit these cigarettes. Well, I pay for that because I feel like shit. Every day we pay for things because we are not willing to break our habits. But if we broke our habits, a couple things would happen. We would feel better. We would get healthier and then start supplementing that with some turmeric. Maybe some good herbals. I don't know. Start looking for you. Get some dandelion and cleanse out your liver. Maybe some milk thistle. Drink lots of water. Start exercising every day. I'm telling you, drink your super greens. I did it a couple years ago. And you guys wouldn't believe it, but I literally felt like Kurzweil turning back the clock. I literally felt like I was in my 20s again, and I looked like it too. But then it was kind of scary because then that put you in a really bad position. You don't want to be in your mid-40s feeling all sad and middle-aged and then looking and feeling like you're in your 20s. Oh, no. Not a good situation. I went back to middle age for a little while. But I'm just saying, a lot of the decisions that we make. And then, when you start feeling down and like you're crumbling, the next thing you do is go running off to the doctor. And again, I don't discourage you from having a good relationship with your doctor. I've had a couple doctors who were beyond excellent, who really did care and who really weren't wrapped up in just trying to feed you pills all the time. They were into, and these were both female doctors, by the way. They were into actually trying to diagnose you and figure out where your problem was originating from, unlike most. But instead of running off to your doctor every time you got a little sneezy sniffle and have him give you something else that'll help pay for his Lamborghini, I would suggest that maybe you take a look at your habits that you already know in the back of your mind aren't doing you any good. But you deny it to yourself because, in the end, when we look at these technologies all coming, we discovered. I started a cascade of events this weekend, this mental health discussion, and technology that's coming in the future. And I hate to tell you people, but I think I've established pretty strongly that they're coming for our brains. This brain initiative, Tommy Insel moving to Google, this diagnosing mental health disorders through your smartphone, and now the DARPA brain implants that are rolling out everywhere to help cure your mental disease. Well, the writing is on the wall. One of the things that they are going to utilize to get inside of your head is going to be part of this 21st Century Cures Act and the $1 billion that they are now funding to cure addiction. Guys, behaviors are addictive. Many different types of behaviors, good or bad. We discussed the dopamine button, and that's something that DARPA has been studying for a very long time, that dopamine button that addicts us to our devices, that is sucking our civilization into the machine. So, very interesting that they've been studying addiction, and they've been studying addiction of that push button that sucks us into the machine. They're allowing us to be sucked into the machine. Notice that there isn't too much talk from quote-unquote officials about our children and the behavioral problems that they have now because of this addiction, the same addiction that is caused from gambling or cocaine or sex addictions. It's the dopamine button. That's that same push button that they push every time your kids or you, ding, get that little ding. It's the mousey in the maze, ding. And you want more and more and more. And as you get more and more of that dopamine, that little push button, it actually causes that area of the brain to want more. And as it wants more and more and more, you're going to need more and more of a thrill. You need to get on those video games. And as you exercise that area of the brain, it gets stronger and bigger and it needs more. And that is the psychopathic central of the brain. We are creating a generation of addicted psychopaths. But don't worry about a problem reaction solution. Because with this brain initiative and with Tommy Insel trying to cure our mental disease on a spectrum, we're going to take care of that for you, Johnny. And we are going to figure out how to push those buttons. We now have this big petri dish of every age, shape, and size, every disease and disorder that we can outpick from. We can all get rich from because of the 21st Century Cures Act, because we moved that FDA that really wasn't protecting you anyway out of the way. Now you can step right up. We got all these new fangled cures, and we're going to turn you into 21st century humans. Transhumanism is the next step in human evolution. This is out of futurism.com. This is a publication from Singularity University. The body hacking convention in Austin, Texas, took place a few months ago. We covered some stories from that. It brought together a collection of people who share an idea of using technology to augment our biological capabilities and enhance the human experience. Now, last week, we spent a good amount of time on a story, on a study, actually, that was titled Human Enhancement. We're going to get back there. We did two sections last week. I think I'm going to do the third section. It's got a big picture of Ray Kurzweil on it. That one's going to be a good one. Anyway, back to this transhumanism being the next step in human evolution. And I've been telling you this. This is what George Church and Ray Kurzweil have been saying for a very long time. Georgie Porgy Church is trying to create the synthetic human genome. Ray Kurzweil wants you to get nanobots in your neocortex, be able to plug you in 24/7 to the matrix, and get the nanobots in your blood so you'll be able to live forever. One of the strongest voices for this movement, this is this transhumanist movement, is Amal Gofstra, CEO and founder of Dangerous Things, as well as a firm believer that biohacking is the next step in human evolution. As he pointed out many times, this is a process that has already begun. And whether it be through pacemakers or breast implants, and we talked about this last week also, you know, if Uncle Chet's got a pacemaker, does that make him a robot? Well, no. Or if he's got pig valves. I mean, that does not make him a robot, but does it make him any less human? Well, no. We kind of got used to that, too. And this is where the slippery slope is forming. You know, they're trying to make this happen gradually, like the boiling frog, so we don't notice and it gets normalized. Because we see it more and more in the news, and we're like, nah, I guess it's okay. The world didn't end. You know, when they did live brain surgery at National Geographic last year to show them putting in the very first brain implant, and it wasn't the very first, but the very first televised live brain implant, to be able to cure someone with Parkinson's, all in the name of the Brain Initiative. And again, one of those big projects that DARPA was working on, that was the dopamine button. You start injecting dopamine into the brain and you fix Parkinson's. But that's why Parkinson's patients on treatment end up with all kinds of horrible addictions. But interestingly, they put that on a big publication like National Geographic, where it would reach millions of people. And people would then go, look, brain implants. Oh, they cured him. It's a good thing. You know, it's all a psyop, guys. It's all a psyop. But whether it be through pacemakers or breast implants, we already fix any part of us that we need to, or enhance anything we deem to be subpar. We also walk around with computers basically attached to us everywhere. They're connected to the internet and all of humanity at all times. And remember, this publication, futurism.com, is pro-transhumanist. So if you hear the way they're spinning this, they're like, hey, look, we already got shit we put into us. We're already connected 24/7, so what's the difference? This is the way they're going to play us. Don't fall for it. Trust me. Do not fall for it. We are also walking around with computers basically attached to us everywhere. And we are connected to the internet and all of humanity at all times. So it is natural that we will continue to push this trend forward by further augmenting our bodies and merging ourselves, with the tools we create. Now, this is when you close this book, burn it, and start running. He doesn't just talk the talk. He has transponders implanted into his hands that allows him to open doors, start vehicles, and log into his computer with a wave of his hand. Well, he must have been a disciple of Regina Duggan, because she talked about all of those things. These are superpowers. Arnell's company sells such implantable devices, and he has pioneered many of the techniques used in the biohacking industry. We might have to look up that Dangerous Things and put that alongside that company I found that Peter Thiel was venture capitalizing. Maybe we'll talk about those tomorrow. A number of other devices and people they are lodged in were also showcased at this event, and many were focused on allowing humans to intuit new senses, believing that we are limited in the ways we can experience and interact with the world, which is these five senses or so that we are born with. And I still disagree with that. You know, they say we only have five senses, but I'm going to tell you something. We only have five senses because we live in a world full of distraction. If we lived in a world where our life was quiet and relaxed and we became in tune with nature again like we used to be, we would discover that we have much more than five senses. And don't call me tinfoil Hattie, because I know I'm correct. I've been there. I've lived that life. You know, even back the ancient Native Americans knew about this. The hair on our bodies acts as a sensor for static electricity. You know, when my hair got really long, I had about six or 8 inches cut off there a while ago. It was super long. Like I could literally spin it up on my head like a turban and then pull it through like a knot, and it would just sit there. I had to get so it was just way too hard to wash. It would take forever. And then to dry 2 days later. And then when it was dry, it'd be like a big Afghan blanket on my head. So I did. I got 6 or 8 inches cut off, but it's getting there. It's growing back. And it's still super long, so I wouldn't. It's still got a big ponytail. But when it was that long, I was getting very strange sensations that I'd never had my hair that long in my life, but I'd never had sensations like that. I would get this literal, like, first it would start with a tingle, and then I would get vertigo really bad. And I actually was getting very concerned. I was thinking maybe I should go talk to my doctor and maybe I should go get an MRI or something because I was getting freaked about it. Why did I keep getting this vertigo? It happened 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And I know that's quite a few times. But I started to find a pattern. One day, this happened to be over on the UCY page and was trying to find something. I don't know. There was some big earthquake swarm going on. And on the UCY homepage, you'll see in the tabs. Go to UCY.TV. In the tabs, there's a tab. I created this page probably six plus years ago, originally on the Fukushima facts page, and then I migrated it over here too, because it was very useful. It's called Earth and Sky. And I know I haven't put any time or effort into the website in years, and I'm gonna have to do a full retool at some point. But regardless, it all still works pretty much. But that Earth and Sky section, you will find some pretty interesting tools out there. They show what's happening as far as solar storms. You got that SOHO movie maker for all the latest solar images from all the different telescopes. You got the global earthquake map, the global disaster map, the end of the world all on one page. Solar system stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff up there if you wanted to spend a couple hours just clicking around and discovering what tools are left for us to watch real time. But what I discovered is every time that I started to get that tingle in my head and the vertigo, guess what, guys? We were in the middle of a solar storm and we were up into KP5 realm for incoming. And I don't even remember what the KP index was, whether it was like, it's some sort of high energy solar particles streaming in and hitting our magnetosphere. But the weirdest thing was, is that I seem to have gained some sort of ability with my long hair, is the only thing I could figure, to detect when those were happening. And I'll tell you that when I got my hair cut off, it's knock on wood, it's never happened again. But I started thinking about the Native Americans back in the day when they would employ them to be guides and to seek out danger. They would go ahead. And I mean, I'm sure that they wanted them to be cannon fodder. But when they were using them to be the, whatever they call it, the front line for the troops back in the original, and I don't even remember when it was, if it was the days, was it the Revolutionary War? They had Native American guides who would go and they would sense danger. And if you read some of the older transcriptions and diaries from back then, that was what they kept talking about, was the sixth sense from the hair. All I'm saying is that these people think that we need to digitize ourselves to get new senses, but we've lost the connection to our environment that already gave us extra senses. You know, I'll tell you something else. For anyone who has ever gone pharmaceutical free versus being on pharmaceuticals, and throughout different time periods in my life when I actually believed in the medical establishment. I was on medication for long periods of time. Unnecessarily, I find out now. But hey, I'm not going to go there because it'll get a whole nother ball of wax. But what I discovered years later is that when you're not on any medication and when you don't get completely obliterated, like you used to in your 20s, because your body could handle it. When you'd go out with your friends, when you didn't really even do any drinking anymore, and you were straight most of the time, and you get in your pattern, and you do your daily routine, that your body is very in tune with your mind. That when something starts going wrong, you actually know right away, even if you won't admit it. You can feel it, you can sense it. Because your body is a well-oiled machine. And when something kind of gets off kilter, you're fully aware of it. But look at, when you're on medication, it kills a lot of those sensations. You can't feel your cycles anymore. You don't know what's supposed to be normal because it's a synthetic feeling. And see, guys, I really think, add to that the television and reality TV to kind of mimic reality. And now we got sucked into that machine through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And now we're to our devices. And now they want us to start implanting things, not only for new sensations, but to connect us to the machine 24/7. That is their dream. There was this device called NorthSense that made and allowed people to feel where magnetic north is. There were implantable magnets that allowed people to pick up objects like magneto, and even some strong enough to let people sense magnetic fields around them. Ding, ding. I actually think that that's what had to do with the hair thing. They acted like antennas or something. And there was echolocation goggles that helped blind people detect objects in front of them. Well, don't worry about it, because remember, they had those implantable retinas that we read about the other day that are going to help cure blindness forever. But we're also keenly aware of how contentious this transhumanist movement is, where there is an assortment of ethical issues surrounding it. At the very heart of nearly every talk and discussion, and I would say so, and I don't actually think that there's enough ethical discussion going on right now. We talk about ethics a lot on the show and on the elimination of human 1.0 and how we are going to be forced to upgrade. Not right away. They're not going to be showing up at gunpoint, making you get your implant or sending out the flying vaccinator mosquito drone with your microchip just yet. But peer pressure is a weapon. If anyone remembers being 14, taking your first drink or your first puff, you'll know what I'm talking about. Well, they utilize peer pressure when we are adults as well. That whole vaccine and little Johnny ruining everybody's Disneyland vacation was a grand example of that, and the fear that they were able to stoke in the population to make them again go back to sleep and not question the ingredients, the wisdom, the safety of anything to do with vaccines. They don't question any of it. Why wouldn't anyone question what they're sticking into your child? Why wouldn't they look at the proof? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because they've been groomed to do what they're told, to listen to authority, to not think for themselves. Cognitive dissonance works wonders. They don't want to hear it because it is outside of their understood paradigm. La 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 la. I don't want to know. And besides, vaccines keep my children safe. You're threatening that, you unvaccinated Typhoid Johnny. Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. So they've put us in that spot. Break out of those boundaries. Start questioning. Don't believe anything because they told you. I will guarantee you, the second you find a thread, make it something that interests you. Make it something that the topic is going to put your brain into fast forward because you want to know the information, because that'll inspire you to dig more. But just take one little thread like that and pull on it, because I will guarantee you that every thread you find, you're going to start finding things that make you raise an eyebrow, like, what? I didn't know about this. Wait a second. They told me XYZ, but this says, PQX. Wait a second. You start digging into PQX, and you find out that not only were they lying to you, but the story is way bigger and way uglier than you ever possibly imagined. Time after time after time after time. And maybe after that happens to you five, six, seven times, if you're just getting a complete dose of reality upside the side of the head, you start discovering that all the things that you believed were actually a fabrication. And these crazy lunatics have been lying to you for a very long time. And I gotta tell you, I hate liars. I can't help it. But I try to be as honest as possible in my life. Lying never served me well. I always got caught. I was a kid. My mother had that superpower. Beep, beep, beep. She was really good at reading micro expressions, I think. I always got caught. I learned a long time ago that if I just fessed up to it and I told the truth, it was always a lot less work than trying to tell an untruth and then continue on with that untruth because you had to make a string of other lies to support the first lie that you told, and eventually you're going to slip up. It was just too much. But when you discover that they've been lying to you all this time about all kinds of things, and that one little lie begot millions of little lies that continued till your whole construct of reality is built upon an empire of lies. That's a really hard pill to swallow, and most people don't want to go there. And a lot of my friends, they go, "Joe, I kind of get it, but I really don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know anymore because I got my life to live and I got to do my things. And if I start really worrying about this, then it's just going to ruin everything." And yeah, I hate to tell you, it does. It ruins everything. It ruins all your hopes and all the future and all the stuff that you thought you were planning for all this time. Kind of turns into a game of pickup sticks. And then you got to pick up all those sticks and start all over again, building your little house full of toothpicks. I don't know. My little house full of toothpicks never got fully reconstructed after this last time. I've had to play pickup sticks a few times in my life. And actually, the first time I played pickup sticks in my early to mid-20s, it ended up being better for me because I'd been in a kind of a bad path, I think. I made some bad decisions, and it ended up being better because I had to reassess everything at that point. But this time, the reassessment has not left me with a pretty picture of the future at all. And everything that I had kind of hoped for, thinking that all this technology, this transhumanist insanity that is coming full frontal at us right now, with lunatics driving the big old ugly bus right at us. It's one of those big motorhomes, those $150,000 suckers. Kurzweil's in the driver's seat and he's doing 90. And he's laughing manically while he's doing it. And all the rich suckers are on that bus. You know what, guys? I don't know. Maybe we need a cable. Pull it across the highway, one of those big, thick ones. I don't know what to do. But when I look at this and I start looking at all the things that they are trying to drop on us now, and they're going to run us over, and they're going to use peer pressure to force us into this to start with. It's not going to be 30, 40, 50 years. We're not going to already kick the bucket by the time this happens, so who gives a shit? Because it's not going to happen. We are not going to be so lucky. It's not going to be our children that are going to have to deal with this alone. We are going to be here when this happens. Kurzweil at that SXXW last week, and it might still be going on. I think it's probably over by now in Austin, Texas. Kurzweil was there, and he changed his prediction from originally 2045 to 2030, and now he's at 2029. For when we merge with the machine, when we have super intelligent computers that'll be taking over the world. 2029 is literally 12 years from now, and we discussed that. Well, the majority of us, unless there is some global major calamity, which is very possible as well. Remember, there's 7 billion of us on this rock, and more than 50% of all the jobs are going to be lost to robots. So it's going to be a lot of unemployed, really bored people to create trouble. So we can't have that. We can't have that. So half of us might not make it in the next 12 years. But for the half of us that do, it should be very concerning that if you're to remain here, that you are going to need to be in the vision that they set for us. This is to upgrade ourselves so you will not become the obsolete man. Obsolete. You have been determined to be obsolete. You've been scheduled for liquidation. If you have not seen that episode of The Twilight Zone, The Obsolete Man, and like I mentioned a couple times last week, the other one was To Serve Man. You know, and that cookbook is what Kurzweil is trying to sell to us right now. And it is a cookbook. A cookbook for cooking humans to make them version 2.0 in the transhumanist image. Not in the image of nature, which is where we are right now. We are the analog version that connects with our environment. We are a part of this ecosystem. We are part of this living organism called Earth. You know, I never believed that either, but as I've become older and wiser and understood a lot more, I have to agree. We are but red corpuscles on this living organism called Earth. Except I think we've become the cancer cells. It's very sad because we are about to become the cancer cells on steroids as we transhumanize ourselves and the planet, and we enslave insect and creature and human and bacteria and viruses and everything else on this planet. I mean, I think we've covered something from every kingdom of life on this planet with mad science experiments that they are working on to try and control. And it's a horrifying thought. It's a very horrifying thought. So now we got CRISPR as well. And they can splice us and dice us, and they can give us superpowers if they want to. But all they need now are willing participants to step right up and become the 1.0 version of human 2.0. So much of what was discussed at this new conference falls under the label of a growing movement known as transhumanism. And it is growing, guys. That dangling dopamine carrot is sucking them right in. And it is like the sticky trap. You will not be able to get out. You will fall victim to the wonders of the future. It is a movement that aims to facilitate the next step in our human evolution as we go from humans to something beyond human. We talked last week about apparently there's some show out there. I still didn't figure out what network it is on, but we read about it the other day. It's called H Plus, and it's all about these people on Earth who, after some grand pandemic, and they didn't say if it was a real pandemic or if it was a computer virus pandemic, they already had some sort of implantable technology in the show. And more than half the people on the planet died. Whoops. But it's okay because everyone in the globe then was able to connect via swarm hive mind through their implants and make it a better world. I don't know. That's the H Plus. That show is called H Plus, by the way. But they're really trying to set that stage. They want us to become comfortable with that technology. They want us to understand that there are too many people on this planet. We are ruining it. We have, oh, out of control climate change. And the cows that we eat for our beef are producing too much methane that is helping to heat this planet. So, bugs for you. We will be a next generation of humans who live on insects and in small white rooms with nanobots in our blood, all in the name of having a happy, healthy society in the land of plenty, where the robots feed us grapes. And we just sit around and think about creative pursuits. I mean, guys, it's not going to turn out that way. It just isn't. It's not. We will be usurped. We will be used and discarded, and then we will become obsolete. Elon Musk sees this. He thinks that we should augment ourselves with neural lace if we want to compete and not become pets of the super intelligent computing that is coming in our future. And that is already here. Recently, a number of transhumanist parties have formed around the world, primarily centered around three core tenets: that science and reason should be the basis for decision making. Ding. Not ideologies. And like, I don't know what, Republican and Democrat? Oh, yes, and bad emotions. Humans have emotions, remember? And those emotions cause them to make bad decisions. I'm predicting Dr. Watson, smartphone, might at some point become our future president because Watson is such a smart cookie. They also center around the fact that the government's main responsibility is to eliminate existential threats to life on Earth, and that the promotion of science and technology will be for the betterment of all. Transhumanism also embodies the same ethos that pervaded the body hacking conference, the belief that technology will inevitably swallow the world and that it is actually changing us for the better. Ding ding. Proponents of both believe we should accept the change and embrace the possibilities that come with it. Ding a ling a ling. So what we've been saying. Embrace it. Open your arms, Johnny. Let it happen. If you struggle, it hurts. So just merge. It won't hurt a bit. And when you open your eyes, you'll be bitter, bigger, faster, better. And not all share this movement's optimism. Many associate such of the progress being made in the world, as well as the rise of more factional politics with a dystopian vision of the future, ding, 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 where we end up destroying ourselves or becoming slaves to the organization and technologies we are creating. And yes, I am going to be on that side of the fence. I think we all should be. Proceed with caution and don't even dip in a toe. Don't go to your friend's house and put on those HD VR goggles and get sucked into the 24/7 gaming orgy that has begun online. It's a trap, people. It is a trap. And remember, your eye is directly connected to your brain. Kurzweil has been salivating over that optic nerve for a long time. And he even talked about once they can tap in and control your senses, you literally will be living in the Matrix. They can put you anywhere and make you feel anything. Don't do it, people. Don't do it. It is a trap. They're all around us now. Be careful where you step. It's like we're in a minefield. You could get trapped. It's just like the kid who never thought he would get addicted to an opiate. The first time the doctor gives him Oxycontin, he's like, oh, this really took care of my pain. But after he finishes the bottle, he's like, Doc, I need another bottle. I still hurt. Ouch, ouch. I need another bottle. Or what about the kid who tries heroin for the first time, has been pumped all over the place as we protect the poppy fields? And now we have this heroin epidemic, but they never thought in suburbia you would have 14 or 18-year-old kids shooting up. You know, I'm hearing this over and over again, and I'm seeing some really horrible stories about it. I mean, when we were growing up, whoever heard of heroin? I mean, you heard of it, but it was something that the rich movie stars and musicians did and ended up by with an overdose in a hotel room somewhere. It wasn't happening to middle class kids in middle America. And guys, all it takes is once or twice, and before you know it, it's out of control. Don't become addicted to anything. Our best defense right now is to break as many addictions as we can to this consumeristic society that's trying to suck us in with our addictions. That is part of the plan. Anyway, so this dystopian vision of the future where we either end up destroying ourselves or becoming slaves of the organization and the technologies we create is really happening. And this seems frighteningly plausible. Especially when you consider that one of the strongest backers of many of these technologies espoused by transhumanists is who? Oh, I've pointed this out so many times. Good old DARPA and the Department of Defense, who envision the creation of universal soldiers equipped with a range of bionic sensors encased in destructible exoskeletons called Talon. Effectively making them superhuman. And the development of such a soldier seems to already be at the forefront of the next global arms race. If I had a bell, I'd be ringing it loud because I pointed this out to you guys so many times before. The military industrial complex does not care about you, Johnny or Nana. This isn't being done for your benefit, this is being done to control and manipulate and own everything. It's a game of Stratego. And while our mad scientists are working on this technology, so are other mad scientists in other countries. Like I said, nukes are just so passe. This next world war is going to be fought on the microscopic level and in cyberspace with hackings and crackings and biotech warfare. It's not going to be big bombs. But transhumanists argue that just the opposite is possible. Of course, they live in La La Land, and they believe that by augmenting our biology and merging it with technology, we can liberate ourselves from many of our inconveniences in life. Oh, yes, we've been taught, we've been groomed to be lazy. So let's do nothing. Let's not work. Let's have the robots who do it all for us and live in George Jetson world because it'll all be beautiful. And we can spend our time being creative and sexy and allow us to more fully express who we are. And almost every tool that we have created, from the spear to the computer, has given us a better quality of life. But caution! And this has allowed us to live healthier, longer, and more enlightening lives. But listen, guys, the spear was not created so we could reach for godhood. And that's where the difference is. See, our hubris got too big. We got too full of ourselves. We got too confident. And now we are grasping for the tools that will allow us to create life on the fly, to mutate life for our own evil purposes. And that's where it's going to bite us in the ass. We reach too far. We're like Icarus. We read about him on Friday with the waxy wings, thinking he could fly, going up as high as he could. And guess what, Icari? Your wings melted and you crashed down. I don't know if he crashed, did he? That's what's going to happen. The fall of man will happen again. We are going to destroy ourselves if we allow this to happen. You haven't seen anything yet. These stories, this technology, I know, call me a tinfoil hattie wearer, but I'm going to tell you, I used to have nightmares and those recurring kind that happened over and over and over again when I was a kid about a bunch of these things that are happening right now. And I used to wake up and be so afraid. And I think that's why I love science fiction so much. Because it was all these things of the bad things that could happen in the future with technology. And then conversely, I went into technology as a career, but hey, It was an accident on how I got there. I was going to be studying religion and philosophy and archaeology. That's what I really wanted to do with my life. Not get sucked into the machine. I helped build a lot of the machine and the infrastructure that exists today for the machine to ride on. And here I am now telling you that we need to deconstruct this machine that we all fell into and thought was going to be a rosy place and helped build and interact with. Because I'm starting to see, just like Bill Joy, in the future doesn't need us. This is going to be humanity's undoing. And I know, it really doesn't sound like it's possible, but it is, guys. And it's happening faster every single day. And the only way for us to fight back, because it's gotten so big, is to disconnect ourselves, A number one, from any influences that are sucking us in. And if we still touch these influences, like our computers, we need to make sure that we are cognizant of the fact of the games that they are playing with us. You need to straddle both sides of the fence so you play their game, so you know what the other side is doing, but do not fall victim, like stepping up for the new technologies and nanobots in your blood. So anyway, this new age of technology will further facilitate this arc, freeing us from the drudgery of work, ridding us of disease, and further connecting us to each other, allowing us to truly explore the limits of reality, say the transhumanists. But it's got to make you wonder what the other side of the fence looks like. And here we go. We're going to end this one. It begins. Bots are learning to chat in their own language. Igor Mordach is working on building machines that can carry on a conversation, and it's made up its own language to do it. All right, guys.